seed and cleansed the lepers. The one that raised the dead back to life again is somehow or another gone forever. That was just a time in history when it was manifest. But then I turned. You know, the one that was called the friend of sinners, the one who ate with the sinners, those who was not afraid to be numbered with the publicans and those who would be considered the lower crust of this world. That one by the name of Jesus, the greatest name that's ever been known to mankind, that very one is the one that I have the privilege of talking about this morning. He's the very one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never lost a case. He's never lost a case. And before you ever drew your first breath, He knew you. Before you ever cried out your first cry in this world, He knew exactly who you were. You say, well, give me a verse for that. You go to Jeremiah. In the first chapter of Jeremiah. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I ordained thee and sanctified thee a prophet unto the nations. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That's what he was talking about, Jeremiah. He knew Jeremiah before he ever formed him in the belly. You know, I've got a child now. My wife's with child in the belly. You know, I know it's there. I felt it hiccup. I felt it kick. It kicked my hand. We've heard the heartbeat. But even before that, before it was formed, the God of heaven already knew it. I say it's a little girl. That's what they told us from the sonogram. I could be wrong. But guess what? The Lord, the one that was yesterday, today, and forever, He's not wrong. He knows exactly what He is. He knows exactly what that child is. He's never lost anyone. Whenever we think about all that the Lord has done for us, who He is, that He took upon Himself a human nature, that who He was, who He said He was, who the Bible declared Him to be, chances of Him fulfilling 8 out of 20 would be 1 in some astronomical number. What would be the chances that He fulfilled every last prophecy of Himself? And to show you that this was no weak Jesus on the cross, sometimes I want to reemphasize, whenever our Lord was upon the cross, He was completely aware of what was going on. Sometimes we think because they pierced His hands and His feet and they planted a crown of thorns upon His head, and because that they had taken and beaten Him and spat upon Him and given Him vinegar to drink, that somehow or another that He was not in control of what happened on that cross. First of all, I want you to keep this in mind. It says that He, knowing that the Scriptures had been fulfilled, He cried out, I thirst. And you know what they did then? They ran and gave Him vinegar to drink. He cried out, I thirst. They gave Him vinegar to drink to fulfill the prophecy that was written of Him in the Psalms. He was not some weak, lifeless little Jesus on the cross. When it says that He bowed His head and gave up the ghost, it didn't mean that His head just fell over, flopped over, and He was gone. It meant that He bowed His head to His Father. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And saying that, He laid His life down. He said that He told His disciples, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Do you realize that Him crying, I thirst, was a proof of that? Because He was aware that the Scriptures must be fulfilled. I cried out, I thirst, and they gave Him vinegar to drink. Another one was whenever they came to take Him. Whenever the soldiers came to take our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, remember what they said? They were asked if he was Jesus of Nazareth. And what did he say? He said, I am. And they fell back as dead. What does that tell us? It tells us again that he was exactly who he said he was. He laid his life down. He allowed them to have him. He allowed them to have him. Upon the cross, there he is, I thirst. What's he doing there? He's making sure that the scriptures are fulfilled. And when the last scripture was fulfilled, then he cried out, it is finished. What was finished? He still had to come out of that tomb. But he is through paid the price. He's getting ready to lay his life down. It's finished. I fulfilled the scriptures. I've set up thy kingdom. I've also been dying upon the cross. And he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And remember this. Another proof text that he laid down his life. Remember when they came to break their legs? They marveled that he was already dead. Crucifixion is a slow death. It's been known to take men and women. I don't know that they crucified women. They may have. But it has been known to take men days and days to die from crucifixion. And one thing they always did, I've explained this before, they would break the legs to eliminate the support from the feet. And essentially what that would cause a person to do is drown. It causes the diaphragm, I believe, to collapse. And in that, fluid gathers around the heart and the person dies. But it's a slow, agonizing death. And the process of breaking the legs was meant to speed that process up. And when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was already dead, and they marveled. And guess what? They didn't break a bone of his body. Why? That the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not a penny, not a bone of his be broken. Another one of those 35. Not a bone of him should be broken. Where was he buried? He was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. You say, what's so significant about that? He was buried with the rich in his death. You say, was Joseph of Arimathea rich? He most certainly was. He had already had a tomb prepared. The common, everyday Joe and Mary out there didn't have a tomb prepared. It's just like those pharaohs, some of those pyramids that we now see were tombs that kings prepared for their burial. They were wealthy. Joseph of Arimathea already had his tomb prepared. He's still alive. You say, how do you know he was alive? He came and prepared the Lord for burial. And brought great number of spices, which was very costly. And then put him in that tomb. He was buried with the rich in his death. You go read Isaiah's prophecies and you'll find about the Lord's burial. I say he's the same yesterday. He was God in all eternity. He's the same today. Over in the Hebrew letter, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Listen to what he says here. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what that says? That says that he's just the same today as he was then. That verse there is not a verse that says, you know, you could come back in the days when I wrote this. This verse is just as true today as it was then. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's today. That's today. He has not diminished one bit of his power. He's not lost one time. He's not forgotten you one time. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He was forsaken. Christ was forsaken. This friend of ours was forsaken on the cross. Another prophecy of his, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You go read the Psalms and you'll find that that's written there hundreds of years before Christ ever hung on the cross. He was forsaken that you and I would never be forsaken. And so therefore, whenever he makes the statement, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, his promise is true. And it's just as true today as it was the day he said it. And finally, in the forever part. That's the part that gives me strength. The fact that I have the Lord today, the fact that he remembers me today, helps me through today. What helps me also is the fact that he will be there tomorrow. And that he'll be there for the tomorrow after that. And he'll be there forever, in eternity. He'll be the one that will be the light of that city. There'll be no need for a sun in heaven, because he'll be the capital S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, which has arisen with healing in his wings. That land, that city will need no sun, because he, the Lamb himself, shall be the light of that city. And he'll be there forever. He'll never die again. He's died one time. He was in the tomb 3 days. He'll come out of there victorious over everything that would have ever stood in our ways. We have a great and mighty friend. We have not only a friend, we have a great high priest. We have not only a great high priest, we have a great elder brother. We have a great prophet, a great priest, and a great king. And his name is the Lord of Glory, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And guess what? There will be no end to his reign. And he is indeed our all in all. He is our best friend. He's our everything that we could ever claim or ascribe to him. But thanks be unto God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I realize that that's all I've got, and it's early. I mean, we can sing, we can do whatever, but I'll tell you what, I didn't exhaust the subject. It's just that the one speaking is exhausted. And so I've learned that it's better to quit while I'm ahead than to... I can tear up more in 10 minutes than it would have taken me 45 to say, or 30 minutes to say. And certainly, we want to thank you for your presence. And I hope that in the 1997, that God will bless us to love him better than I did in 1996. That I might feel his presence greater with me. And cling to that verse that he is the same today and forever. May God bless you. Keep you, God. We want to stand and extend the right hand of fellowship. We want to also close the door open for reception members. There will be one more here, like a homeless church. And you have the right to let your desires be known while we're here. Thank you for your real kind attention. And we appreciate again your presence. And I hope and pray that God will bless you and your family, all that are near and dear unto you in the upcoming year. And if you have a mind to remember me, I need your presence. We all need one another. What shall we sing? 124. Is that page 124?
Yeah.
Page 124. Okay. How firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent words. What would the Lord can he say than to you he has said, you who Jesus forever you shall live. In every condition in sickness in hell, in poverty's veil, for abounding in wealth. Shall thy strength ever be. In love I am with thee, O be not dismayed.
cross into sin, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not be overflowed. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When
and we need, I sing Amazing Grace.
How's that?
I wouldn't
like to
do
that.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Praise, and when we
Augusta forever. May God bless you all. Keep you, is our prayer. You will bow with us, and we'll look at the Lord and be dismissed. And Brother Hal, can you dismiss us for us, please? Go ahead and pray the benediction.
Now, Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for this servant who has come and preached and let us to us. Don't only let us to you, but not the way.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Hal. My face is hanging inside, kid.